Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode.
In the wild mountains of the Montana Territory, the Calder Ranch is a place of family, loyalty, and a hidden fortune. Jericho Calder, the eldest of six fiercely devoted brothers, is entrusted with safeguarding his family and the secret that binds them together, the Sapphire Mine. To keep tragedy from striking again, he allows no outsiders on their land. When two women stumble upon their ranch, claiming Jericho himself sent for one of them as a mail-order bride, he aims to send them straight back where they came from. Dina Wyatt, a talented and determined doctor, wasn't about to let her twin sister travel to Montana alone and marry a stranger. Dina's skills are immediately put to test when one of the younger Calder brothers is gravely injured, forcing the family to trust his life to her. As Deanna and her sister become entwined in the Calder family's life, sparks fly between the enigmatic Jericho and the captivating doctor. In a world where trust is hard to come by and secrets hold the power to change lives, Jericho and Dina must learn that sometimes the most precious secrets are those buried within our own hearts.
Okay, this is a 8-book series total.
Yes.
When we put our list together, though, there were only 6 books out. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do the first 6, although the 7th has already come out. And... Mm-hmm. I think we're going to maybe scoot back and do 7 and 8 a little bit later. But anyways, for book number 1.
Yes.
We are talking about Dina and Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just talk about Dina and her sister, Naomi.
Naomi.
They're twins.
Yes.
And what did you think about the scenario that had them coming out to the ranch in the first place?
I was a little surprised by that. You know, back in the times, you know, you think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's different. Yes. But it's also something I think plays out throughout the series. It's not your typical what you would expect, I guess, from the women.
Yes, because it's happened, I think, in a couple other stories. In this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And right off the bat. Mm-hmm. They show up and they're like, you shouldn't be on our land. And he wants to escort him off. But then Jonah has a, how did he break his leg again?
The wagon.
Yeah, rolled, that's right.
Rolled over his leg.
Yeah. And it was a bad break.
Mm-hmm.
So here's Dina. First of all, she's a woman. Almost reminds me of Dr. Quinn, medicine woman.
Yes, yes. Because how many women doctors are out there? Yeah.
Yeah. So... And so then she has to try to prove herself, too, right? Because back then there really weren't women doctors around. But they didn't have anybody else either. Remote in Montana. Okay. Then they have. So that's what keeps them there, basically, because they need her skills to help him stay alive. And Naomi then just kind of like they actually show up for Naomi, not Dina.
Yes, this is all for Naomi, but she almost comes a background character. More focus on Deanna and Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
Just
so, what did you think about the niece and nephew? Because they're the ones that kind of set the ball in motion. Remember, because they put in an advertisement for a wife for their uncle without him knowing.
Yeah, like when she brought that out, and Jericho's like, "I didn't write that," and then. Well, was it them or was it his sister?
So his sister, I thought it was the kids because I thought the sister was like, your uncle needs a woman.
Okay, I think their sister had something to do with it. I can't remember if she wrote it or it was like, he really needs a woman, so they did it. I cannot believe if those two wrote it, they came up with that. That was good.
Oh, yeah.
A new way to send it.
I loved it. I thought it was so cute. I loved, and I love those kids throughout the series.
Yes.
You get to watch them grow. And the niece, and I don't know why their names are escaping me at the
Lillian
moment.
And yes. Sean.
Yes. So Sean remains ornery, and he's really ornery with Miles, who is the youngest brother.
Yeah.
And Lily, she just really kind of clings to Dina a bit, I think. And which becomes just a sophisticated young lady.
Yeah, she really grows up and learns how to take care of a household and help.
And be calm.
Yes,
and,
yes.
Yeah, she does excellent. I loved watching her grow up.
Yeah.
So, you know, they walk in and Dina starts doing a ton of cleaning because basically it's a bachelor's pad.
Mm-hmm.
And the description there, I mean, what did you think about that?
It sounded so gross. I'm like, when's the last time you cleaned? Like, I've just seen all this dirt and piled up stuff. And, like, how they like, store their stuff along a wall.
Yes.
Like, she just had to dig through things to find, it's just on the wall over there in a crate.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, now, one time, Derek and I, we stayed at his grandparents' cottage for about 2 or 3 months because we were between rental homes and the one we were moving into was being remodeled, and Derek was actually helping remodel that one. And so we lived out of boxes because
you don't want to fully unpack.
And so when I would go to cook, I would have to dig through boxes to find what I needed to cook with, which, by the way, that kitchen was I was thankful for it, but I burnt so many meals in that oven, and I was the worst cook there. I broke my crock pot there.
Oh, my God.
I just did all kinds of things. Of course, we had only been married, maybe we were in our third marriage. That didn't come out right. We were in, our third year of marriage. I've only been married once, okay? And so has Derek. So. Yeah, and so I was still and I was in college, and I was wrapping up my student teaching, and I can just remember super late nights because I'm trying to, you're teaching all day, and then I got to get these college assignments done at night, and then I'm trying to cook. It was just disastrous in that kitchen.
That's when frozen pizzas come in handy, right?
but the oven would burn. I made crescent rolls to go with something. You know, you just buy the Pillsbury crescent rolls because I'm not a big cook. I think if I had more time on my hands, I'd do more. But I burnt them in the oven.
Now, did you go from gas to electric or electric to gas?
Good question.
Because
we went through three rental homes before we bought. So I'm trying to remember what
we grew up on electric. But then I got gas. Mm-hmm. I love a gas stove. But then when I moved back in with mom and dad, they had electric. And I'm like, this is like, I'm cooking a grilled cheese. I'm like, this is taking too long. So you turn it up, and the next thing you know, you've burnt it.
Bam. Just like that.
Yeah. And so sometimes that can mess with people too.
So we have a gas stove here and oven here. I prefer gas.
Yeah, me too, because it gets hot quick, but when you turn it off, it's done. It's not still sitting there hot, boiling.
I do feel bad for Grandma because, you know, she always cooked with gas.
Yeah.
And now she has one of those flat.
The glass top ones, electric.
And she's always, I just can't get used to this.
Yeah. But,
I mean, she spent decades cooking with gas.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I can't remember. I just remember, I was the worst cook in that cottage ever. Ever. Totally thankful, though, that we had that had it for that in-between period.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I did. I even tried to have a friend over for dinner that was living close to us at the time. And I nothing came out right. I said, we're just going to have to order pizza, you know? nothing came out right. So
how did you break your crock pot?
I was young and dumb.
Oh,
it wasn't quite done yet. And I said, just finish it on the stove.
Oh, no, Melissa, you don't do that.
Yeah. So y'all can be laughing at me right now because you're probably thinking, what an idiot. It was a total blonde moment. I didn't think. I just thought, just whip it out, finish it up on the stove. And then, of course, when it cracked, right, everything flowed out all over the stovetop. And I was like, That's when I said, we're going to have pizza. I'm done. That was a really dumb thing. And I'm like, after it happened, I was going, what was I thinking? Like, I knew this was not smart. This is not a smart move.
But. Yeah, put it in another pan if you need to finish it.
Yeah.
Never put your crock thing.
So ridiculous. Anyways, I digress. I was just like, the state of the house and how much she cleaned it. It really, I was like, I want to get in and clean with her.
Yeah, like, yeah, just men don't care about cleanness in a house. And just, yeah, I was just trying to imagine. Now, did it have a dirt floor or was it a wood floor?
See, I was trying to remember because, there's several in this series, sometimes I forget those little details. But I feel like maybe it was a dirt floor and they were finishing it up and making it a wood floor.
Because, you know, back then you either could afford a floor or you didn't afford one.
And they were just cutting down the lumber right there on their property.
Yes.
For it. Okay, so you learn why Jericho is so protective. One, it's because his sister went off and then she ended up dying. Mm-hmm. But she lived in terrible conditions with a terrible guy. And he didn't want any of his brothers to go through that, right?
Right.
But two, they have sapphires that they mine on their property. And they didn't want anybody to know that because they were worried that there would be this mad rush out there. And then, like, the whole landscape would change because it would be like the gold rush, you know? People are digging out, blowing up, trying to get to it, and they just didn't want that. And especially on their property. So they have this code word for their sapphires. They don't call them sapphires. They call them strawberries. And I found that completely hilarious. But what did you think about their, like, tactics for keeping it secret?
You know, I thought it was interesting because, like, when Jude was talking about it in the first book, he's like, I'm going to go pick strawberries. And Gina's like, well, that's a woman's job. We can do that. And he's like, no, that's my job. And I was just like, to pick strawberries, you know?
I know. She's like, what?
Yeah. And I think their dad came up with it. If I remember right, I think their dad came up with that code word.
I think you're right. Yeah.
As to keep it, you know, so nobody knew.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a good thing because I wouldn't have thought of sapphires.
No, but you would be like, why are these men
using strawberries?
Picking strawberries all the time, right? Yeah. And it is interesting, and we'll talk about this more when we get to the other books, but it is interesting as the years go on and as we move through these stories with the other brothers, how many times it actually comes very close to being completely revealed and out there. Which, you know, that's what puts you on your edge of your seat while you're reading it, too. Like, oh, no.
Yeah.
So I thought it was great. What did you think about their pet? Would you call it their pet bird that kind of gives that call to say,
what was that,
someone's
a crow?
Here?
Was it a...
cannot remember.
Was it something that Two Stones taught him?
I'm not sure. It's the same bird, and I can't remember what type of bird. They had a name for him and everything.
Yes, my mind's gone completely blank on that. That is really interesting that you would know, like be out there waiting.
He takes off and he soars and he does a call.
Yeah.
And it lets the guys know, oh, someone is just entered the
and
property.
How is it that's the same bird that does that?
I don't know.
You know, that's very interesting, though.
Yeah. Oh, I love Two Stones. He's their Native American friend. Really grew up with them. They're like brothers. I absolutely love
him. Oh, it was so hilarious when because he just walks into the log cabin.
Oh,
it scared her to death. Because he just walked in and she didn't realize he was friendly. So,
yeah. That kind of reminded me a little bit that scene. It's like reversed. Do you remember this? It might have been the second series we did on this podcast, like 4 years ago or something? It was Lori Copeland's Men of the Saddle series.
Oh, man, that's been a long time
ago. It's been a long time. But I love that series. I've read it like 3 or 4 times, like once a year. I go back to it. But I think it was in the second book. Yeah. Beau's story with Charity. And Charity's friends with those Indian ladies that come around all the time, right?
Okay,
but then
yeah.
one of the men from the tribe came because his wife was having trouble with her labor and stuff. And so she was out hanging laundry, and she had gotten into a little tiff with Bo.
Mm-hmm.
And his brother, younger brother, was there. And remember, that Indian came up to her and was like, need white woman medicine, you know? Yeah. And so she brought him into the cabin, but it was like a reverse. Like, the guys were like, what are you doing? Get away from my wife. I mean, Bo was like, don't, you know, get away from my wife. She's like, he's a friend.
Yeah.
And they weren't married yet. Or were they? No, they were married. But it was kind of like a marriage of convenience at that point. It hadn't gone anywhere. And so as the Indian gentleman left, then Bo was like, how do you know him? How are you friends with him? You know, just like all these things. And she's like, I don't know, but he is quite a handsome man, isn't he? You know? She was just kind of like egging him on. So it reminded me a little bit of that scene from that book. But you're right, because she's like, I don't want to scream. But
Yeah.
And then they're like the best of friends. I just like Dina. She just kind of goes with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
So kind and caring to everybody.
Like when the smallpox broke out in the Indian village.
Yeah.
And Derek goes, you're not going. And she's like, yes, I am. Mm-hmm. I'm a doctor. I'm going.
This is what I do. Yeah. And in every book, she's like, come here. Let me fix you up. You know, she's just ready to help.
Yeah.
With everything. And Jericho is he is the older brother to a T.
Mm-hmm.
A complete protector. And he can be kind of, I love him, but he can also be a little
overbearing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I do think, if I remember right, his dad made Jericho promise keep the family together and keep him safe.
Yeah.
And he felt he failed his dad because of what happened
because
to his oldest
sister. Yeah.
So he felt like the only way he could do it was
keeping a tight rein.
Rein. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you learn later on in the stories how his brothers really felt like that, because his brothers just listened to him.
Right.
Do what he says, but then you kind of notice, you know.
Okay, we've got to ease up here a little
bit.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's go through our ratings of the elements. So let's just talk about, let's start with what do you think the rating would be for the inspiration level in this book?
Latte?
For inspiration, I'd probably go, mocha, latte. We've talked about it. Yeah, it's very organic, isn't it? It doesn't, like, scream at you.
Yeah, it's not.
But it makes you, like, go, oh, wow. Because you're just watching them live their faith out. Mm-hmm. And that's true in all her books, really. Any book of Misty's that you pick up, you're going to get that.
Mm-hmm.
What about the romance level?
Latte. Well,
latte's a lot.
Oh, latte's a lot. I'm going the wrong way.
I was like, really? You thought it was a lot?
Wait, I thought mocha was the lot.
Mocha's okay. So you have espresso, mocha, and then latte.
I had that wrong. I would say mocha.
Yeah, I would say anywhere between espresso and mocha. It's her typical romance level. Mm-hmm. It's there, but it's not wowzers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She writes very sweet romances. How about the drama level?
Mocha to latte.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There is a lot of drama. There's just some. It's interesting. You've got to read it. I don't want to give things away. It's hard to share it.
And they're quick reads, too.
Oh, yeah.
They're very quick reads. So if you like a quick read, they're just good.
I would say that in all the books.
Yeah, all of them.
Series. Yeah. What about the suspense?
Mocha.
Yeah, I'd even go espresso. I didn't feel like there was as much suspense in this one.
Yeah, I would say so. Probably more espresso. Yeah, I would agree with that. Espresso.
Yeah. All right. Did we get them all? We did inspiration, drama, romance, suspense.
Inspiration.
We already did that one.
Isn't there five?
There is five. What am I missing? Mystery.
Mystery.
That's the mystery level.
Mocha.
Yeah, I'd say espresso to mocha, because you're like, what are these strawberries?
Yeah, so there's just these little things like the, but not a lot.
Yeah.
So no mocha.
What is your overall lasso rating?
I would say 3.
I would go 3. I just really like her writing, though,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
I would go 3 lassos, too. I think you're going to be hooked in Hogtied. It is your typical first book of the series because it's setting everybody up, mm-hmm. right? You're getting to know all the characters. And when we talked to her, she talked about this is a series that had a lot of characters, which she said, I don't normally put so many mm-hmm. in. So you're going to get a typical feel for it. A typical feel. I don't know how to say that. Like your normal feel for these books. But then as the series goes on, it's like more and more intriguing. And you just right. like, I've got to get to the next one. I got to get to the next one. Yep. So definitely thoroughly enjoyed Healing the Mountain Man's Heart, which is the first book in her Sapphire Ranch series. And next week, we are going to dig into Marrying the Mountain Man's Best Friend. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider signing up for our free newsletter. Each week, you'll receive news about our events for both readers and authors, plus updates on my books. You can sign up at literaryscape.com/newsletter. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.